This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm John Williams. Thanks for dialing in. Producer Pete is here. And on Mondays, Elise Glink is too, the owner of Think Glink Media. BestMoneyMoves.com, ThinkGlink.com. Is it BestMoneyMoves.com too? Does that do you have that URL also, Elise?
Yeah, it works. You can just find me, you know, type my name into any search engine and it'll pop up.
What's the thing that you put out there the most? Like, is it financial advice? Is it links to articles about real estate? What's your groove out there?
You know, when I do the newsletter, you know, what I try to do is give the broad view of trends that I see in money and real estate, kind of like what we talk about here, but our time is a little bit more limited. And there, what I can do is add in different links. So if somebody wants to explore something further, most people at home can't see what I send you or Lisa Dent each week, but I send an email to producer Pete. And it covers the different topics, and then I include some images of maybe some, some graphics that explain it, or I'll include some links that you or Pete can go in and take a look at or print out if you want to look at the stories that I'm basing this on. And I do the same thing in my newsletter, except it's a little bit more detailed, and I allow myself a little personal insight usually once down at the bottom, you'll probably get a photo every now and again of something I'm doing in my life outside of work just to share with folks. So that's kind of what the newsletter's like.
I didn't see or think about this, but one of the trends that you're talking about is people trying to shop in advance of possible tariffs. I'm not that organized. I don't think that far ahead. Are people really contemplating that?
I have been getting emails asking me if they should buy cars, if they should buy washing machines and dryers, if they should kind of focus on these big ticket items that we normally don't focus on until, you know, we're at the need absolutely have to have stage. And, you know, I think it's because people are a little worried about what's going to happen if Trump carries on with these tariffs. Now, we've already seen in the news over the last week the president of Mexico saying, you know, pretty strongly that she didn't think there would, you know, they've settled all of that. The premier or the president of Canada said the same sort of thing. They're already having discussions because the early tariffs that Trump has been talking about are the ones right for Mexico and Canada. But, you know, one of the things that I think people have to think about is, first of all, do you have the money to cough up $47,000, which is the price of an average car these days? And even if you did, you know, what would that actually mean when a car is maybe manufactured in, let's say, Georgia or Alabama or Arizona, depending on what you're buying? Parts of it may come in from abroad, but they already have a bunch of those in stock. So would it be an immediate jump up? Would it take some months for a tariff to be negotiated or imposed or actualized? And what's interesting is that when you look at, and one of the pieces that I sent you today was a Harris poll, younger people of color are more likely to make purchases ahead of the potential tariffs rather than others. So you have maybe 66% of millennials of color versus 59% of Gen Zs versus 19% of baby boomers more likely to make those purchases ahead of actually tariffs maybe going into effect or not.
Wonder if that just reflects how therein lies the income disparity. Maybe white Americans can better weather a financial storm, whereas persons of color who maybe have fewer resources, less money, they'd better get ahead of this. But then again, being financially disadvantaged generally doesn't give you the kind of cash you need to make these purchases in advance. And I'm still surprised by this, at least. That is, I guess if I was going to buy an EV, I could see why I'd be motivated now. Or, I don't know, solar panels. I'm trying to think of things the new administration might not be very fond of. But the things that I think about, too, when we talk about tariffs are shoes, toys, games, pots, pans, you know, just everyday household items as well.
Sure. Or technology. Think about computer screens, monitors, computer pieces. You know, it's interesting. Just to go back to EVs for a moment, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 actually put into place the $7,500 federal rebate or credit, right? Dollar for dollar reduction, mm-hmm. tax credit. Yeah. For people, and it expanded the people who actually could take advantage of it, right? So part of it is based on your income, but that's $300,000 for a family of four, or below. So fine, that's the vast majority of everybody. But also it's, the battery power as well is the other part of it. And so together, what they're doing is incentivizing you to buy kind of the biggest battery power that you can for people who earn $300,000 a year or less, families who earn that. But that's supposed to be in effect all the way through 2032, according to the IRS page. And that was sort of interesting to look more deeply at as I was reporting for today's conversation with you, John.
Elise Glink on the Wintrust Business Lunch talking to us about if there are going to be tariffs, how are people planning accordingly. By the way, you also sent to us the USA Today article that said that if tariffs went into place, as the new administration proposes, what would happen? Gas prices go up immediately. I haven't even thought about that, but I guess that would be the either tariff on gas coming in or maybe reciprocal treatment from OPEC or some of the other nations in the world, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we produce a fair amount of oil in this country now, right? Mm-hmm. And we could be, I suppose, energy independent, but there are other, and I am not the gas price expert or, you know, how you even, you know, make all the different products from petroleum, but there are some other pieces that we get from other places, and that's why they think that would jump up immediately, that it would change how for example, how the bond market works or how the oil and gas commodity, you know, bidding prices would work. And I think that's just all part of it. Car prices, even though cars are, you know, on the lots today, I think some car manufacturers might take might jump things up. And of course, steel and aluminum, the things that make up cars, right? And a lot of other stuff.
Washers, dryers, microwave ovens.
Yeah, I mean, other stuff that we use every single day, buildings, you know, there's other things that go into it. I think that might take several months, according to some of the experts in USA Today. They're really, and Wells Fargo did an analysis, and it could take the better part of next year for that kind of tariff to sort of take effect. And we would see, but you know, if you're thinking about buying something, you might want to, you know, some things sooner rather than later, maybe.
Well, today is Cyber Monday. What are you hearing about that?
Oh my goodness. Well, one thing that's interesting is we've finally seen, I think, the tipping point. I mean, for many of us, we've been shopping online, you know, but I think, you know, now we're starting to really see the online shopping ramp up. There are all kinds of deals that are out there, and it depends on, you know, what you need, right? If you don't need anything, then you know, shouldn't be buying stuff. But if you're buying Christmas gifts or Hanukkah gifts or for any other holiday, there are great deals to be had. So NBC News today listed 177 Cyber Monday deals, which I thought were interesting. Some of the best ones come from Amazon, Apple, Macy's, Walmart, Wayfair, Target. I saw if you need a new pair of Apple earbuds, I think I saw like a 35% discount somewhere. Wirecutter had 150 early cyber deals, and those look pretty awesome. So there's definitely a lot of deals out there. It's just a matter of, you know, just buying what you think you might need.
And beware of scams, right?
Yeah, so this is actually even more concerning. Michelle Singletary, good friend of mine, she's been the personal finance columnist for the Washington Post for many, many years. She has now introduced, I think it's a 6 or 7 part cyber scam series. Now, I have been talking all year to our customers at Best Money Moves about how cybersecurity and personal financial security go hand in hand. This is never more evident about how important it is for you to protect your online information than what's been going on with these romance scams and FBI scams. So in today's piece, Michelle wrote about a woman who was bilked out of $600,000, her entire life savings, with an FBI scam. Somebody called her. It had a fake number on the telephone. It looked like it was coming from an FBI office. They convinced her with a lot of personal information they had that she was the target of a fraud.
Yeah.
And she agreed to work with them. And boom, they let her down the path.
I can't believe these stories, but I hear them so often anymore. I guess they're out there and people thinking they're doing the right thing or trying to avoid a bad thing go down that road. By the way, Lisa, I want to read some text messages. Do you mind?
Sure, please.
About what you were telling us about people getting ahead of tariffs and my not seeing that coming. Hey, John, I just bought my new car to be ahead of the tariffs, says Sue in Naperville. Next text, yep, we went to Apt last weekend. We need a TV, and we are trying to beat the tariff. Next one, hey, John, says here, I'm a boomer who just bought a Japanese-made car last week, partly spurred on by Trump's tariff threats. It's happening, isn't it?
It's really happening. And I think if you, you know, as the day, your afternoon goes on, if you look, you'll probably see even more people responding to that, because I think that this is really, you know, there are a lot of surveys out there that just say people don't understand how tariffs work. I think enough people get the idea now that it's going to be bad for consumers if this happens. Maybe it would have changed some things in the election. Maybe not. There's a lot of anger out there. But, boy, people are going to be really unhappy if these tariffs actually go into play and then they start looking at what inflation really looks like, because some of the predictions are frightening. They're looking at some prices going up by 20, 30, 40%.
Elise Glink, Think Link Media, and Best Money Moves. Subscribe to her newsletter and check her stuff out. And join us next Monday, Elise.
Always, John. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for dialing in today to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jim Dahlke's here, as he often is on Mondays, Director of Communications at Tech Nexus Venture Collaborative. Happy Cyber Monday, Jim.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Kind of appropriate that you would be here since you are very much about cyber, investing, getting companies off the ground. Do you have any ideas for us, Chicago-centric, and maybe startups, maybe tech ventures that I might shop at or from today?
Yeah, you know, Chicago, like we've mentioned, you know, is not necessarily known as a consumer startup town. This is a business-to-business software city, typically, historically. Yeah. However, there are several consumer-facing startups that are located here in Chicago, venture-backed, that are doing well and have really interesting products this holiday season. One we can look at right off the bat here is Tovala. This is a smart oven startup here in Chicago. They've raised tens of millions in funding over the years, and they've created a countertop smart oven that can bake, broil, air fry, toast, and reheat all in one. It really... And its differentiator is its meal service, its meal delivery service. So it's got these meals that deliver right to your door. You scan a QR code right on the smart oven, and the machine knows how to cook your meal precisely. So it can switch between different cooking methods, different temperatures, really kind of making cooking as effortless as possible. And for Cyber Monday, they're actually giving their oven away for free if you sign up for the delivery service. And so pretty interesting deal here, and one that's, a Chicago consumer startup that's really looking to make cooking as easy as possible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That was just as you were talking, I thought they ought to give the thing away and then get people. I paid a lot of money for a Peloton, but I probably paid more in monthly subscription fees to the service, you know?
And I'm sure that's probably over the years what they've found as well, that there, you know, there's money to be made in these kind of meal delivery services. And so that's certainly a big piece of their business. And then speaking of countertop kitchen appliances, another Chicago startup is called Bartesian. They make a countertop cocktail maker, sometimes referred to as the Keurig for cocktails. Bartesian uses pods similar to Keurig and the liquor in your home kitchen cabinet to create restaurant-quality cocktails right at home. So you drop in the pod, add your own booze, and you can make the perfect old-fashioned margarita, lemon drop, and much, much more. And so their Cyber Monday deal is currently $100 off any of their cocktail makers.
Have you tried that before? Because I know we used to sell those here at WGN. I don't know if they're going to come back, but I've never had one. I don't think I've ever used one. Do those work like they say?
You know, I've never had one myself either, but an interesting deal for them is they work to get into professional sports stadiums as well. And so you can think that this can be a tool that can be used at concession stands, you know, at Wrigley Field, for example. I know that they've worked with in a handful of other professional sports arenas to really kind of quickly make, you know, high quality cocktails in a concession style capacity. So no, I never had one myself, but, you know, they've been around for a few years now and they've got some similar to Tovala, a well venture backed as well. And so definitely a company that's, you know, looking to capitalize on the holiday season.
Were you going to talk about the countertop garden as well?
Yeah, that's the third countertop, right? So Rise Gardens, that's another Chicago startup. They're backed by Amazon, another well-funded Chicago startup, and they provide personal indoor gardens. And essentially, really what they allow you to do is grow as much as 40 pounds of fresh produce every month. And really their whole selling point is they make it as easy as possible. They have an app that can walk you through all the steps of creating your produce at home, step-by-step instructions. It tells you when to add water, when to add nutrients, and really it makes it kind of foolproof there. So yeah, if you've got enough countertop space for all three of these, you can kind of really redo your kitchen appliance game.
Well, did you say 40 pounds of produce a year, a month, a what?
A month. Yeah, a month. Yeah,
what are they growing? Pumpkins? What am I making there?
Yeah, I mean, you can do heads of lettuce, tomatoes, peppers, all kinds of things. And it's got three different kind of price points, and its biggest is on sale today for $1,000. It's got three levels. You can do 48 plants, expandable to 108. So this is a massive unit. So certainly not something that you can put on your countertop. They do have smaller ones, right? But, you know, everything from something that you can put on your counter to something that's actually quite large, depending on how ambitious your at-home gardening needs are.
Speaking of patronizing Chicago startups, maybe they're not startups anymore, but they did. Cameo, I can get a Christmas cameo from somebody. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, the holiday season, a big time of year for Cameo as well. Of course, the Chicago-based app for connecting folks with the celebrity shout-out videos. And, you know, one big celebrity for Cameo during the month of December is Santa Claus. So Cameo has a bunch of different Santa Clauses that you can peruse this holiday season. Everything from your traditional Santa Clauses to puppet Santa Clauses to even naughty Santa Clauses, if that is your thing. A range of different price points there, and you can kind of connect your little ones with Santa Claus this holiday season. They've got their regular talent as well, so comedians, actors, athletes, the whole stable of talent there over at Cameo. But during the holiday season, certainly Santa Claus is a favorite.
Yeah. You know I'm mad at Cameo.
Is that right?
Go ahead. Ask me why.
Why is that?
Thanks for asking. Because of Matt Gaetz. He's the latest Cameo boy. You know, it took me a while to get over George Santos. I said that Jussie Smollett was on there. Actually, I'll have to go double check that. And I was reminded by some of my friends that those aren't all the same kinds of animals. But I object to Cameo's profiting off of other people's corruption. Rod Blagojevich, George Santos, Matt Gaetz, all disgraced, convicted politicians. Maybe Matt Gaetz isn't in that category yet. But you get my idea. They don't have to go into business with those guys. And I'm sure they're making money doing that, but I would prefer them not. What do you think of that?
I think that's a reasonable argument. I think everybody's kind of got their own sort of moral barometer about who, you know, could and should and should be in business with folks like that. I mean, we've seen very well, as you've laid out, the pipeline between sort of, you know, famous politician interest controversy and then finds their way to Cameo. I don't think that George Santos, right, is as active there as he once was. You know, I think these are kind of short-term little endeavors. And, Jerry Jones says that all press is good press. So for Cameo, you know, they get a high-profile name.
Yeah, yeah. Them
gets their name out there.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. And you're right. It's a moral barometer sort of thing. But that obviously is on the other side of the line for me. Not so for Cameo. And friends of mine said, well, I think it would be hilarious if I got, you know, a well wish or a happy birthday or something like that from Matt Gaetz. I would not want to get one from Matt Gaetz, and I wouldn't want you to give money to Matt Gaetz. But again, that's me, and I'm not Cameo. And that's Jim Dahlke. Okay, Jim, that's it for today. Let's connect again next Monday. How's that sound?
Sounds good, John. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. That's Jim Dahlke, and he is the Director of Communications at Tech Nexus Venture Collaborative. Let's update you on more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. There's a new list of the largest nonprofits in Chicago. Crane's list puts Feeding America at the top with $5 billion in expenses and revenue last year. The Big Ten Conference is second on the list with about $897 million in expenses and $880 million in revenue. At number three on the list is the Alzheimer's Association with nearly $460 million in expenses and $412 million in revenue. The list does not include foundations, schools, and hospitals, and the ranking uses 2023 expense reports. The CEO of carmaker Stellantis is stepping down. It's unclear how the departure of Carlos Tavares might impact the dispute over the opening of the company's Belvedere manufacturing plant. That plant had been shut down, but after negotiations with the union, Stellantis agreed to reopen it. The reopening hasn't happened yet, and as a result, the union is threatening a strike. Tavares has been pushing cost-cutting measures at Stellantis, but butted heads with the company. He's bored over how to move forward. A new CEO could be named in the first half of next year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And let's begin with Al Pacino.
If you got it, a truck brought it.
He's playing Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa in The Irishman.
Today, our trucks stop. America stops.
But the thing about trucks is they need to drive over bridges. And in Illinois,
about 30% of all the bridges across the state need to be repaired. That comes out to about 26, almost 27,000 bridges.
Who that is and the cost of fixing the bridges. After, I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Todd Main is on the phone. He's with the Illinois Soybean Association. He's here to tell us about a study on the economic impact of maintaining bridges, because without sturdy bridges, Illinois soybeans and other crops don't make it to market.
These are bridges that are in bad shape. They have load restrictions. They need to be repaired and rehabilitated. And those are real economic costs to our farmers,
which jeopardizes Illinois' position in the global economy.
Both corn and soybeans, they really are the number one sector of the economy in Illinois. About 60% of all the soybeans that we produce go overseas to export.
And to get our products on barges and trains, trucks need good bridges, and repairing and replacing them will cost a lot of money. But the Soybean Association is focused on the benefits of that spending.
These are smart investments, because for every dollar that we spend, we get almost $5 back in direct economic benefits. You know, there's almost 52,000 jobs statewide that would be associated with this, just this repair work.
The Soybean Association is working to get the attention of lawmakers and others who need to get these spending programs in motion so that future generations will benefit.
We've got to make sure that we make the investments now so that in 2050, the transportation system we have can still protect our competitive advantage.
He's hoping the decision makers are listening and taking note of their study. He knows the Soybean Association's members are.
And we've got about 43,000 farmers, and they love to listen to radio.
Well, hi, everybody. On the food calendar, it's National Fritters Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
They say you want to live long, you want to eat Greek-style food. Louis Alexakis is joining us now, the founder and CEO of Avli Group. They've got a spot over in Fulton Market. Louis, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, John. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. So talk to me about your new venture here.
Sure. So we just recently opened an amazing small quick service location in Fulton Market, kind of like right in the middle of Fulton Market at 950 West Fulton. It's called Pitaiki. We specialize in really approachable and affordable Greek street food inspired, selections, everything from sandwiches to salads to little pies like you might see in a restaurant, but more in the manner that they're served in Greece, in these smaller handheld versions you can kind of add to a sandwich or to a salad.
Is that what a pitaki is? Isn't that a little pie like?
That's exactly what it is. So, the name pita, everybody knows what a pita is. And it's funny because in Greek, pita is actually referring to not the bread, but to those pies. They're called pitas in Greece. And a pitaki just means a small pita pie. But pita also means something wrapped in a pita bread, like here in the U.S. that we would identify. So we thought it was a great name. It kind of touched on almost everything we do there.
So then what do we put in there, like tomatoes and cucumbers and lamb or chicken? Is that the idea?
Sure. Well, that's right. So we have like a classic version that we call the Classico. And that is a lot of what you would assume would be in a classic Greek dish. Tomato, onions, that classic Greek garlic yogurt sauce called tzatziki. But, we're still a restaurant group, and we wanted to have fun and make things exciting. So we came up with other sandwiches like the Spicy Siren or the Colossus. And they have a variety of other vegetables and different sauces, actually, to kind of make this a little bit more interesting, a little bit more. We're still a restaurant group doing fast casual. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, talk to me about that category, QSR. What's that, quick service restaurants? What's the experience like? How does your restaurant work?
Well, so really for us, a long time ago, we had a quick service location up in Winnetka. And I think that was more of like our proving grounds. And what we noticed truly what happened during COVID was that people made a big transition. A number of restaurants closed. The ones that stayed open really did everything they could to, create a value carry out menu. And we did that, especially in our two downtown locations at the time that were open, our River North location and the one in Lincoln Park. And the reality is people really embraced it. I think they really appreciated the fact that we stayed open during then. We made menus that were affordable and approachable, but still high quality. And this is, Pitaki really has grown out of that. We have really loyal customers who don't view us just as a place to dine in, but also as that replacement meal during the week. And this allowed us to really focus on that and bring it to, a very up and coming. Obviously, Fulton Market is a great area to do something now.
Well, that location's a lot of things. Certainly, high concept or innovative restaurant ideas are all around you. Is the experience?
For sure.
Do I walk up to the counter and order it and take it back? Is it table service? How does that work?
Sure. So, no, you do order from the counter, although you can order right online from our own app, and there's no charge, or you can order for delivery from pretty much everybody. We prefer our app because we think it probably gives you the best service and the price point. But you can also order, walk right on in. You're going to walk by a beautiful display of a lot of Greek items that we brought in from Greece. Some of them are food items, some of them are books or jewelry or little Greek tchotchkes. It gives you something to look at while you're waiting in line. And you would go right up to the counter. We have beautiful displays. You can see what our sandwiches look like. You can see what a lot of our cold dishes look like. And, we really want you to realize we're going to be cooking this fresh for you when you order it. Comes out fresh, hot, delicious. You said healthy. That's in the quick service world, it's something that a lot of people claim, but really it's ingredients. We're very simple ingredients. If you look at our sandwiches or if you look at our pies, as we say, they're 5-6 ingredient items. They don't have preservatives. They don't have additives. They don't have, chemical additives for sure. Everything's fresh and natural.
Louis Alexakis is the founder and CEO at the Avli Group, and the name of this restaurant is Pitaki. Is that right?
That's right. John, thank you very much. And if I don't speak to you, have a wonderful New Year. Thank you.
Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Thanks, Louis.